This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
The Weeks Act 100 years ago kind of restored the balance and put the emphasis, save the White Mountains, set up the forest system. And it seems to me we're focusing today a lot on the local issues and our own local concerns, but this is a national resource. These are the Alps of New England.
The signs say land of many uses. It was never intended for the White Mountain National Forest to ever be used as a conduit for electricity. We wouldn't have protected it for that in the first place if that was the reason.
Oh yes, as Northern Pass has claimed that we've listened. They didn't listen to the people regarding the White Mountain National Forest. That's why they added a crossing with their new route, huh?
Oh yeah, we've listened.
We don't want you in the White Mountains.
Okay, we'll listen here. How about two crossings instead?
Unbelievable. People just aren't buying that propaganda that's been going out in the mail. And I found out from this lady from Manchester, she was actually offended by the mailings that she got. And she says, this is ridiculous. My electricity rates are high. I don't know if I really like this project or not. I need to find out a little bit more. But I'll tell you what, these mailers are insulting. And she says, so I have to come see what this is all about. This was last night at the Red River Theater in Concord at the Northern Trespass documentary showing, which was a sellout crowd. And I'll tell you, it was amazing. I was glad to see it sold out, but sad on another hand, there's a lot of people couldn't see it. So there's discussions on trying to get more showings in Concord because there's a lot of people that want to learn more about this, especially as they are waking up to the fact that at least in Concord, it's going to have the biggest visual impact. And the Appalachian Mountain Club said it a year ago that it would, and a lot of people are starting to realize it now as things continue to inch closer and closer. Another place that could have a very big visual impact, and I was there last year too, capturing audio from a meeting in Sugar Hill Tower opponents, where I think the town is unanimous in its opposition to Northern Pass. And I saw the right-of-way that goes through that town, and I got to see many vantage points of where it would be visible. And you want to talk about destroying a tourism economy in the White Mountains? Yeah, there you go. Take a look at Sugar Hill. Well, Nancy Martland is joining us here. She is head of the Sugar Hill Tower opponents, and she's been very active on this front for a very long time. And Nancy, welcome to Bulldog Live. How are you today?
Good morning, Bulldog. I'm just fine, thanks. It's a beautiful day in beautiful Sugar Hill.
Oh, finally, the humidity is gone.
It's sunny, it's cool, it's gorgeous.
Nature's air conditioning. you know, there's been a lot of PR getting ramped up over this, particularly Gary Long sitting down with the Concord Monitor editorial board to star in a YouTube video, talking about how he believes that, particularly in the North Country, that more people are coming out in support of the project. And then we have some interesting phone calls that have been going around, and you were the recipient of a phone call recently.
Yes, I was, Bulldog.
Tell us about it.
Well, I innocently picked up the phone one afternoon this week, and a very pleasant lady started to talk to me. And she was telling me how important clean energy is and how important it is to have lower rates for our electricity, and kind of on and on. And I did ask her who was paying her, and she said the IBEW was paying.
Mm-hmm.
And then she continued with her spiel. She was obviously reading from a script. And, you know, asked if I favored clean energy power and, oh, by the way, Northern Pass. It was a classic push-pull kind of call. You know, you're offered something that nobody would say no to.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what happened. We then, a lot of us, followed up with calls to the union hall, the union office.
Good.
To complain about this type of push polling,
mm-hmm.
where they're peddling misleading information to the unsuspecting public. Not, you know, some of us who have been very active don't fall for that, but other people are vulnerable to that kind of thing. So
sure.
we thought that that was inappropriate. I also noticed that Mr. Long referred to polling that they've been doing that shows that there's more support for this project. If that poll is a sample of the kind of polling that they're doing, I would seriously question the validity of their polls.
Yeah, no,
that's not scientific polling, and it's not valid polling.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And it's important to note when we talk about IBEW, there's many locals in New Hampshire. One of the locals represents telephone workers. That local is not involved in this. We're talking about the other local that Joe Casey is the head of. And Joe Casey has been on Northern Pass's website promoting this because they're trying to find jobs for their folks. That's why they're pushing Northern Pass. But as I think you said to somebody, Nancy, you're an old union gal yourself, right?
That's correct. I was raised in a union household. My father worked for General Electric. He belonged to an electrical workers union, ironically enough.
Okay.
He was a shop steward. I was raised to believe in the power of unions and the rightness of their mission to represent workers. And I was a school teacher for many years, and I belonged to the National Education Association. So I believe in the principle of unions. What puzzles me about what IBEW 490 is doing is I question whether it's right for a union to push a corporate agenda which will result in other people losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They're trading one job, one set of jobs for another set of jobs.
Exactly. That really shakes me to the core. I have no problem with unions representing their workers and trying to get the best for them, but when they're, by going beyond that brief to damage other people, that's kind of where I draw the line.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. What was the reaction when you called the local to complain? Did they?
It was a very low key reaction.
Okay.
You know, it was the receptionist. You know, I think who was a little surprised to be getting all these calls.
she got more than one, huh?
Oh, she got a lot of calls. And there were people who filed complaints with them on the federal and state level who are on do not call lists who. You know,
Ooh.
Felt that this was a violation of do not call policy because it was, you know, it was advertising.
Well, I wonder, too, because New Hampshire does have some laws regarding push polling. I don't understand them. I don't know what they are, you know, exactly. I couldn't even recite the statute, so I couldn't tell you. I just know that there's something on the books about that. So it would be interesting to see, you know, if any of those complaints to any of the state or federal agencies have anything to do with it,
yeah.
You know, see what comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we look at this, too, and I got an email from John Amy, who's a farmer in Pittsburgh, an organic farmer who found out about Northern Pass wanting to cross his land by reading it in the newspaper, for crying out loud,
mm-hmm.
When they announced the route in October of 2010. And he got the phone call, too, just like you did.
Yeah. I have to admit, when I realized what it was, I did start to laugh. The comedy of it just kind of overtook me.
You're like, don't they have a list of who they should not call?
I guess not.
Someone didn't do their homework. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But, Nancy, how are people in Sugar Hill taking this new route announcement from Northern Pass a couple of weeks ago?
Well, you know, I heard what you reported about the woman from Manchester.
Yes.
And that's how people feel here. If anything, it's ramping up the opposition. It's
mm-hmm.
just so insulting for them to claim that they've listened and make these teeny tiny alterations, which in some case make it worse,
yeah.
And to claim that they have reached out to us when they haven't set foot in our community and they refuse to talk to us, it just makes people even more resolute. You know, Sugar Hill has passed at two different town meetings, two unanimous, a resolution and an ordinance objecting to this project. The town is stalwart because we have 7 miles of right-of-way through this town. Most of it goes near people's property. It's not out in the middle of nowhere where you can't see it. It's just not. And we expect between 50 and 100 towers to be placed through our town.
Mm.
And as you noted, we depend on tourism. And yep. An important facet of tourism that I don't think gets enough mention is the second home industry.
Oh, yes.
We have a lot of second homes here. I think almost 40% of our houses are second homes. And it's a very important part of our property tax base and the local construction industry and all the service industries that work, you know, with second homeowners. And no one, frankly, is going to buy a piece of land and build a house overlooking an industrial corridor. The damage here, mm-hmm. just from that standpoint, will be severe.
No, and if any of our listeners have ever been to Sugar Hill, it's certainly one of the most beautiful towns in the state among the many. It really ranks way up there with the Lupin Festival that's held in the early summer and, you know, just the wonderful farms and small businesses that are in town. And you can really have a good time there and a good, relaxing, peaceful visit. And just imagine how that view, looking back to Cannon Mountain, would be jarred. You know, from many viewpoints. And Nancy, here's one more point that I found out, and this is something I don't know why I never thought of it before, but a homeowner is telling me this from his own personal experience, and he lives in Concord on the right-of-way. He is now having a very hard time getting homeowner's insurance for his home because of the proposal for the high towers.
Huh.
Because it would be within the fall zone.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
they don't. Nobody wants to insure him now.
Yeah, that's a consequence I didn't know about.
I didn't either, and I said, thank you for telling me this. I never once made that connection. So it'll be very interesting to see. He may be able to get insurance, but of course, guess what? It's going to cost him, right?
Right. Yeah. And who cares if you can get insurance if a tower falls on your house? I mean, really?
Would anything else matter at that point?
At that point,
he'd be Crispy Critter. We laugh now, but...
I know, but it's a very serious risk.
Yeah, I mean, I do see the opposition getting ramped up, and judging by what I saw last night, did you make it to the Plymouth showing of Northern
Trespass?
I did.
I was at the Plymouth showing, yeah.
I missed you.
Yeah. I was there.
Okay, good. And what I'm noticing is that a lot of people are coming in with a lot of questions before the movie, and then they ask quite a few good questions afterwards too. They're using this as an ability to learn what may very well be the truth behind this project.
Yeah, I think one of the things that that movie addresses that Northern Pass would like to gloss over is that the hydropower that they're pushing is industrial scale hydro. Mm-hmm. And I think that Northern Trespass makes that point very clear. I think most people imagine a dam across a little running river with some fish ladders and mm-hmm. all sweet and bucolic and green. And that's just not what it is. They've flooded 7 million acres of forest so far.
Yep.
In northern Quebec, and the Northern Pass is latched onto a new project that will flood even more. I was talking to my husband about it this morning, and he said, imagine damming Franconia Notch and creating a reservoir behind it around the size of Lake Winnipesaukee. That's the kind of scale that we're talking about. So I think it's disingenuous of them to talk about hydro, knowing that that's not what people imagine.
Right, you're taking the trees that are just going to flood them right out. They'll decay, and that's where the concern is about CO2 emissions. People worried about greenhouse gases. There's a lot of concerns about these big scale hydro projects actually creating more carbon emissions. Because think about this: you're drowning trees that do what? Suck carbon dioxide out of the air, right?
Yeah, and the hilarious thing, Brian, is that in the mailer that we got, one of the many mailers that we've gotten,
mm-hmm.
they talk about how the Northern Pass project is the equivalent of 4 million acres of carbon-capturing trees. When the company they're buying the power from has already flooded 7 million acres and still counting of carbon capturing trees. Do you get the irony of that? I mean, really.
Boy, am I glad I talked to you today. I missed that one. I got to go back and look at it. I got the flyer here. I'm going to have to go look at that claim because I remember the other one I saw. Oh, well, it's the equivalent of taking 5 million cars off the road. Oh, really?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me what cars will be taken off the road because Northern Pass. What we do know, and this is interesting too, and you tell me because I think you've encountered people trying to do work along the right-of-way through Sugar Hill. You or some of your neighbors have. A lot of these people that are coming to do the work for the environmental impact statement, which ironically they're really trespassing on people's private property at that point because they've received no landowner permission. These are out-of-state plates. Someone just last night, I can't remember what town it was, a couple of people that were in the movie to do the maple syrup, I think they were from your town.
Oh, yeah, the Stroops. Yep.
Yes, that's it. They kicked somebody off their land yesterday, and they had South Carolina plates on their car.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention that. I'm really glad you brought that up. Because
okay.
I, as you say, we have had contractors working for Northern Pass on our land for probably about the last year that we know. That's when we started to notice it. And when I see them on my land, I do either I wait for them if they've parked a vehicle or I walk in and I find them. And I've probably met 6 or 8 people. It's a small sample, I admit, mm-hmm. but not one of them is from New Hampshire because I always ask. They're from Texas and Maryland and Indiana and in Maine and New York. I have not met one contractor working for Northern Pass who said they lived in New Hampshire.
Oh, there's your New Hampshire jobs.
So there's your New Hampshire jobs right there.
Oh, my. Well, the story continues. Nancy Martlin, thank you very much for taking the time to join us this morning.
It was a pleasure, Brian. I really appreciate your covering this story so thoroughly.
All right. Well, I look forward to coming back to Sugar Hill again real soon.
Name the day.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bulldog Live continues here. Nancy Martlin from Sugar Hill Tower Opponents talking to us from, again, one of the most beautiful towns in the state.